Good morning. Good to see y'all this morning. We're a little bit earlier than usual, but that's okay. And I am so happy to be in Him this morning. I know you are too. I'd rather be standing here than behind any president or any other world leader this morning. Behind Him, not behind the world, in some part of the world. Behind this message, you know, a lot of people discount this message. You know, people, I've heard people discounting this message. They would take the scripture that Brother Branham used and look at it and read it. They would have to look at it with this brain and see where he put it, where he pulled it from. But they won't do that. They won't do that because they don't like him and what he said this meant and what he said that meant. They don't want that. And that's exactly what they've done to Jesus. See, when Jesus come, his life was saying that it was something else than what they thought. And they hated it. They didn't want it. But let's pray. Father, we're so thankful that we could be a part of your word in this hour, Lord. We're counting it such a privilege, Lord, being as we were born into this world with, we were lost and with it, Lord. And without you, Lord, what would we have been? For only you can make the word come to pass. Only you can interpret it, Lord. That's what we've been talking about all this time. Father, your prophet talked about it endlessly, on and on. And Lord, we loved to hear it and we cherish it in this day because there's food, Lord, in this famine that the world is in. We pray that you'll bless it to our hearts this morning and speak to us. We ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. And you can be seated. I was really enjoying the singing this morning. I know he's here. Amen. He said he would be. And he is. Because he said he would be, he is. We can count on that. I'm not going to get all these quotes for sure. It's two parts. And we'll get down so far and we'll see how it goes and we'll stop. And not try to go too long. And if it seems like we're going back through some of the same things we went back through, I'm sorry that if it seems boring, but you can't go through the things that we went through and not touch every part of the Bible. It's there, everywhere. Because Brother Branham said that the Bible is God revealing himself. It is the revelation of Jesus Christ. And so you can't touch part of it. No part of it in here that we look at is not that. And if we're part of Christ, then no part in here is not revealing us. Don't miss that. Okay? Because God is revealing you. You're a part of him. He's got to reveal you too. And the way he's going to do it is he's going to interpret it. He's going to bring it to pass. And so this little statement, this little subtitle here is right out of the Church Age's book, and we'll read it here in just a little bit. But this is what a whole lot of people forget in a real big hurry. I mean, you go out here into the churches, and I'm not even going to go into that because it just, you know what the world is like. But they think, and it goes back to the one thing. It goes back to Cain's sacrifice. It goes back to him being jealous because he was not accepted. Something that he done. It was him that done it. He didn't do it by faith. He done it. And when he done it on his own and it wasn't accepted, God wouldn't accept it. He was angry. See that self-pride and that I'll do it thing. And even to the thing that I can have faith, I can do this and I can do these other things, because I've seen it 100 times in people's testimonies, and I've seen it in the world. I've seen people all over the world They take and twist and mangle God's faith, and they turn it into some abomination of their faith, which is not going to do it. Brother Bram said it was his faith, Christ's faith. That's the only thing we talked about. The Son, S-O-N, was the only thing going to bring the seed to life. It's the same thing. It's not something different. It was not faith in him. These are the prophet's words, not mine. It was his faith. It was not faith in him. Not something you done to him, for him. It's him doing it. It's his faith. And what is faith? It's the substance of things hoped for. The evidence of things not yet seen. How can your faith be the substance of that unless it's his? It's got to be his. And his is the only one that will bring it to pass. The only one. So we're going to hit back on these two covenants. And I know I've hit these covenants a bunch of times. But I don't think that it's getting across. And I can't get it across. But I'm going to just read and point out some things. I've told more than one person. I believe I have one calling. And that's to point out what he said. Not change it, not twist it, not make it my statements, not read something into it, but point out what he said. And you're not going to read it like a book. The only thing we can do is point it out. And what do you think Jesus was to Peter? Jesus was God pointing out the scripture to Peter. That's what he was. And that's how God interprets his word. He brings it to pass. And so, I mean, it's that way all the time. In every believer, in every promise of God, it's the same. Now, there have been two covenants. One of them was the Adam covenant. God made a covenant with man. If you will, I will. And he broke it. Not God in him broke it. He broke it. He broke it. Now, what did Brother Ram say that when we're born again, that life is in you? He said, you go out here and you say you got the Holy Spirit and you put a pair of shorts on these women and walk down the road in them. He said, the Holy Spirit will not let you do it. But Adam broke it. Adam done it. I'm not against Adam. God made him. Nothing wrong with Adam. Nothing was wrong with Adam. Not a thing was wrong. Brother Bram said he came right from God, created right from God. There was nothing wrong with him. God made a covenant with man. If you will, I will. And he broke it. Now remember, what's happening right there when he made that covenant in the garden, what is happening? God is revealing himself. Okay? God can't break his own word. So if he'd already made Adam his word, Adam was the expressed word of God, like Jesus was God. And there's no way he could break it. And see, everybody seems a little upset saying, I'm saying you're not going to go back to that. You're not redeemed back to that. Now, why would I say I believe this message, and the message says hundreds of places that we're redeemed back to that, and me say that's not true? That's just Satan whispering in people's ears and stuff. And I, like I said, he'll whisper in everybody's ear. And everybody's going to listen a little bit sometimes. But if you're a seed of God, God will stop it. And you'll quit listening to him. And you'll listen to only what it says. Okay? If Adam was what we're going to be and he could break the word, then what's to keep us from breaking it now? Because it said Adam broke it. When Jesus come, he said, my Father keeps it. My Father brings it to pass. He's the one does the works. When Adam was here, he broke it. Now, what are we going back to? Sinless. Adam was sinless.
He enjoyed all these things. But the only thing that held him there was whether or not he would keep it or not. And he couldn't keep it. If he could keep it, then God lied to everybody when he put him down there and let him not keep it. You see that? Because this is God's word. And we're going to read it right here in a minute, because God said Adam couldn't keep his word. Adam broke it. Adam could not keep his promise. Man cannot keep his promise. If man could keep, what was the promise he was trying to keep? It was God's word he was trying to keep. And how is it wrong in this day and time to say that man can't keep God's word? Man has never been able to keep God's word. Even when he was in the garden and there was nothing wrong with him, Adam couldn't keep God's word. Ever. If he could, we don't need God. God is the only one can keep his word. I'm not angry. Please don't take it that way. Brother Branham said that the covenant was not eternal. And why did he say that covenant with Adam was not eternal? Because it was based on Adam. It was based on what man would do. It was based on a perfect man. Wasn't nothing wrong with him. He hadn't sinned. He hadn't done a thing wrong with him. God didn't make him deformed or something wrong with him. He just made him. And he gave him his word to live by. He gave him his word to live by. He didn't live the word in Adam. He was going to. I want that to get across. And I don't think it's getting across to people. People think I have a problem with Adam. I don't have any problem with Adam. I just have a problem with people not saying what God said about Adam. That's what I have a problem with. I love people. And I don't get angry at anybody for saying those things. But I get real angry when somebody twists the word and make it say something it don't. Because it wants to fit their tradition they've had for so long. And I'm not going to continue to put up with it. If I'm preaching to this wall right here, if I'm preaching to the microphone upstairs in my room, that's what I'll have to do. But I am not going to continue to listen to people put this word down and twist it and make it something it's not. And I'm not just not going to do it. I love it too much. It says right here, Adam broke it. If Adam was God, then God broke it. I don't know how simpler you can get than that. He broke it. When God made a covenant with Noah, that was the Noah covenant, and it was broken. Now he's making the Abrahamic covenant. The Abrahamic covenant, according to Genesis, the 12th chapter, it was given unconditionally, therefore it's eternal. Because why? Unconditional. So man was conditional. It could or couldn't happen. See what I'm saying? It was based on? It was based on whatever the man decided to do. And man couldn't keep his word. God knew he couldn't keep his word. Brother and sister, that is so important, because that's the truth of the Godhead right there. God keeps his word. He brings his word to pass. It's always been that way. It will always be that way. And then when I say, I have never said that we're not going back to what Adam and Eve had. Never said it. I have always pointed to the fact that that chain that held them, that chain that held them was their will and what they wanted to do in that situation. Now, I'm going to read you something here in just a minute. And when we go back, the thing holding us won't be that. Brother Branham did too much contrasting for us not to see that. Therefore, it's eternal because it's unconditional. Now, if you will, I will is conditional. So it can't be eternal. He said, I've already done it. Not I will do it. Oh. What he told Adam he hadn't already done. See, Adam had to do that. Brother Branham told us that in Marriage and Divorce. He told us in more than one place, he told us that. That God made Adam and then he made Eve. And he told us what happened there in the garden. They broke it. They went away from it. No, I will do it. I have done it. That's basis faith. Oh. Where's the basis for faith? And he done it. Not if you will, Adam. That's not the basis for faith. If you will, I will. That's not the basis for faith. The basis for faith is I have already done it. See, not God is determined to save man. God is determined to do it. And he knew when he put him back there what was going to happen. And he'd already foreordained the way he was going to give man eternal life. See, not God is determined to save man. He make a covenant. If you will, I will, he'd break it. Another one. You will, I will. He broke it. Man can't keep his covenant. Not even Adam. You can't divide Adam up into two. Adam, period, could not keep God's covenant. That's what he said. So God saves man by his grace under a covenant that's unconditional, an unconditional covenant. Oh my. Never ending. That was all of it. Three perfect. Adam, Noah, Abraham. Now, that's the reason we're Abraham's children. Because we're the faith seed, right? And that was the promise given to Abraham, and that's what it's based on. All your inheritance is given to you by this. We are Abraham's children. That covenant cannot be never end, because it's unconditional. We're talking about God here. It isn't because you do something. It's because God did something. Do you see that? I think I've done hammered that home pretty good this morning. It's not because you do something. It's because God did something. Now, we don't have a problem with that whatsoever. But all of a sudden, when we get back to Adam, certainly we got a problem. What's the problem? If the Word is the Word, it's the Word all the time. That's what Brother Branham said. God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He said that the Word, a man don't take your wife back when she's been with another man. That was the Word before the foundation of the world, he said. And Adam went against it. Okay? I'm not talking about Adam. I'm talking about the Word being the Word forever. And it's what he says here. Is it because you do something? It's because God did something. Now, that's through the whole message. That's the way he said he was going to share eternal life one way. And when he says he's going to share eternal life, what does that mean? That means he's going to express himself as sons and daughters of God one way. One way. It's because God did something. Not because you choose God. God choose you. Do you believe that? Divine love. Now listen to this. Really close. When God seen the sin of this world, and he seen that man was dying without hope and could not be saved. And when was this? Before the foundation of the world. Brother Ram said he put your name on the Lamb's Book of Life back there. So he saw it always. He was dying without hope and could not be saved, and yet he knowed that man would love him. There was somebody that would love him, and he knew it, and yet they were all lost. None of them could keep his word. It strained God, and it proved his nature. See, God let this situation take place, and it strained God, he said, and it proved his nature. God's proven himself. Jesus Christ was God proving himself. God's nature is love. God is love. And it strained God's nature until he had to provide a way of escape for those who would want to escape. And he sent his son to the world, made in the likeness of sinful flesh, to bear our sins and sickness to Calvary. God did it. The love of God going out called for sovereign grace. You see what happened because of that fall? God could then produce something that could not be produced without the fall. That's what I'm trying to point at, okay? And this is God expressing himself, and we're part of him. He can't express himself completely unless that happened. And we're wound up in that. The love of God going out called for sovereign grace. And God never said, if you'll do it, if you'll do this, I'll do this. That was not. When God moved and said what he was going to do, God, without any conditions, he sent his son to die in your place and settle the sin question. Had nothing to do with what you think about it. You think about that, brother and sister. Now, Adam was forced into that situation. God put him in that situation, and he was forced, it looked like, to just take her or she was going to go. That's what Brother Bram said. He took her because of that. He wouldn't have broke God's word other than that. But on some condition, he did choose to break God's word. You see, well, now, why isn't that held against him? Why isn't it held against him? Brother Ram said that we're all put on the same basis. So if Christ had already been revealed to him, then he turned down Christ. Christ had not been revealed yet. Had nothing to do with what you think about it. God did it anyhow. Amen. It didn't matter what Adam done back there. God knew what was in Adam. He knew what was in you and I. Divine love. When you're strained, sovereign grace has to take its place. That's all there is. When divine love just sits at the right place. Amen. I want you to notice Abraham coming down out of Babylon with his father and dwelt in the land of Shinar, and perhaps he had living there. He had his living there, and his wife Sarah, his half sister, and he was 75 years old, and Sarah was 65 years old before God ever spoke to him and made a covenant with him. 65-year-old woman, 75-year-old man, and God said, "Walk before me and be perfect." He told Adam just to keep these words. 8 words, 10 words is all the word that he had to keep. And he didn't do it. Now he tells Abraham, "Walk before me and be thou perfect." God made the covenant with Abraham unconditional. Now look what he told him when he's making this covenant. He's making an unconditional covenant with Abraham, and he's telling Abraham, "Walk before me and be thou perfect." You see the words that are coming out of God's mouth. Abraham, walk before me, be thou perfect. And if Abraham's the word, if that's the Abraham he's talking to, it's got to take place. It's got to. He's got to walk before God and be perfect. And who's going to make that happen? Do you remember what he just said? He said he didn't tell, he didn't do it and say, if you do such and such, Adam, I'll do such and such.
No, 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 no. He put the faith in Abraham.
Who's being proved?
Brother Ram said God was constrained. God proved his nature.
And God said, walk before me and be perfect. God made the covenant with Abraham unconditional. Wasn't any conditions. If you'll do this, I'll do.
He made a covenant with a man once like that Adam, and he broke it.
Man breaks his promise. God can't break his promise. So if any promise is going to be kept, who's going to do it? God is going to do it. That's not according to Chris. That's according to the prophet. So God determined to save man. He made the covenant to Abraham unconditional. And we know that when he told Eve back there, your seed shall bruise the heel of the serpent. I mean, the head of the serpent. He told her back there. Brother Branham said, right there, he was promising this seed. And God is unfolding Jesus Christ. He made the covenant to Abraham unconditional and told him, I have done this and it's going to be this way. Walk before me and be thou perfect, Abraham. God's going to make it this way. This is going to be, and you're coming to me at an old age. This is going to be. What if we could read the word like that? This is going to be. When you read it, it says he's a healer. It's going to be in me. This is going to be. Every last bit of it. Now we find here, he appears in the name of El Shaddai, the Almighty. Really, the word Hebrew, word Shad or S-H-A-D, some pronounce it as shade. Shade means breast, like a woman's breast. He appeared to him in the name of El Shaddai, which is, in plural, breasted. I am the breasted God. He did not appear to Abraham, to Adam like this. He was not doing it for Adam. It was put all on Adam to do it himself. God made him a certain way. Now, Adam, you do it. You bring my word to pass. My word says don't touch this tree. My word says don't go get your wife when she's went with another man. That's what it says. Don't do these things. And if Adam was going to bring his word to pass, he'd had to done that word. And he didn't. And it's because God had it always in his heart that he was going to manifest his word. I am the breasted God. Because we see it. He starts doing it. As soon as the fall happens, as soon as even Adam comes before him, he starts right then doing it. Right then. He put those clothes on them to show the lamb. And he spoke of the lamb to come when he said, thy seed shall bruise the head of the serpent. He's already doing it. He's already talking about Christ. In more than one way there, that his actions he was doing was talking about Christ. I'm the breasted God. Abraham, 90 years old, walk before me, be perfect, believe my word, just keep on believing. I promised at 75, here it is. Been between 24 years now since I made you the promise. Now, all that time, it held the faith. We talk about the faith of Abraham. What did Brother Branham say faith is based upon? An unconditional promise. And what a comfort it ought to have been to an old man, 99 years old, and his strength all gone. And here God stand before him and said, I'm El Shaddai. I'm the breasted God. Draw your strength from me. I'm your strength. Did he ever tell Adam that? He gave Adam the word and said, here, Adam, I put you behind it. Now you do what it says. Sure.
He said he put him on equal basis with God. That covenant was equal basis. Was Abraham on equal basis with God? It doesn't look like it to me. He said, draw your strength from me, Abraham. Now, I'm just reading what the message says. I'm not changing it. He said, I'm the breast of God. He come down to Abraham and he said, I've given you this promise, Abraham. I'm going to make sure this happens. And he stood by in faith all the way through. God was bringing that to pass. For 25 years, he was in Abraham bringing that to pass. If we allot it to Abraham, then we're right back there where we were in Adam and him having to do it himself. And this was not based on God. It was still based on Abraham. The faith was given to Abraham. The promise was given to Abraham. Do you see what the word is now to us? It is life. It is. And it's why you can't have it one word off. You just won't do it. Draw your strength from me. I'm your strength. Like the New and Old Testament breast of God. I am the breast of God. Draw your strength from me. Like a little baby, when it's sick, fretting, sick, weak, it leans upon its mother's breast and nurses his strength back from the mother. In other words, Abraham, you're nothing but a baby to me. 99 years old. It hasn't been no time his life. Just remember, Jesus was crucified like yesterday, 1,000 years on earth. It's just one day with God, just like he was crucified yesterday. And notice, I am El Shaddai, you are the little weak baby. Not equal basis. Mm-hmm. Not the same at all. If he hadn't introduced this yet, and this is what eternal life is based on, then how could that have been eternal? It could not. It couldn't be. You know what I'm saying. Let me see if I can say that a little better. How could that be the fulfillment of this when this had not come? If faith is based upon an unconditional covenant, and it takes his faith to please him, it takes his faith to bring the word to pass, it takes his faith to be the overcomer, if it takes all those things, and this was just now introduced, it wasn't introduced to Adam, it was introduced to Abraham, then how could that have already been fulfilled? That's what I'm saying, okay? I want to make that clear so it doesn't start up more confusion. And I know I'm responsible for confusion. And so, you know, I've asked the Lord to just help me get out of the way. You are the little weak baby, but lean upon my bosom, my promise, and nurse for me your strength. I'm the creator that hung the heavens and earth, but the stars, put the stars out yonder. Is anything too great for God? I'm El Shaddai, and you are my child. Though you are weak, and I'm letting you get that way just to see what you'll do about it. I'm going to make an example for people hereafter what that man will believe my word. I'm going to make an example that man will believe my word. Remember what he said when he looked down through there and he saw all those lost. But he knew there was some that would want to if they could. I'll stand by it no matter what it takes. How long, I'll do it. I'll stand by it. El Shaddai, I draw your strength from me. All you say, if I believe, he is still El Shaddai. He's still the breasted one. New and Old Testament. Just draw your strength from it. Oh, everything you have need of. Just draw your strength from that. Go get in that word and just draw your strength from it. Take that as what he said it was. When he told Abraham, I'm going to give you a son, that made a dent down there in his heart, and it wasn't moving. It stayed. It was growing. And now, every promise that we have in this hour is the same way. Just draw your strength from it. Oh, everything you have need of. How much? Everything you have need of. You got need of something? I have need of something this morning. I heard that song when you were singing. It said about the mountain being moved. By my spirit, saith the Lord. Let him move the mountains. Brother, I tell you, if there's ever been mountains in the day, there's been mountains every day, but there's mountains in this day too. New and Old Testament, just draw your strength from it. Oh, everything you have need of. The baby is helpless. He has to pull his strength from his mother. That's the only way he can get strength. That's the only way a believer can get his strength, is pull it from the Word of God. That's his strength. God's promise to him. Stand by and believe it. Harvest time. If after we're finished, if this looks like you have a hard time connecting these quotes together, then we can talk about it a little bit if you want. And I'll try to help. Sometimes, I know you probably wouldn't believe me, but you know, I guess you would believe me. But I'll get in there and study, and sometimes over the week, I'll pull a quote and just let it sit there. And then I'll look back at it 2 or 3 days, just read it, and then something will hit me about the quote. And then I'll go next day and look at something else, and then something else, and then in a little bit I pulled these quotes out and I've stuck them together and I've given no thought really. Well, maybe I've wondered, how in the world does that go with that? And I don't see it. I don't see how it goes together. And more than one time towards the end of the week, when it gets about time for service, I get in there and I start looking and I see it. I see where this one flows to that one, it goes to this one. And I'm trying to tell you, I didn't do it, okay? That's what I'm trying to say. I couldn't do it. I don't care how much somebody studies in this message. They may be eloquent as far as speaking. But the only thing going to line the word up is revelation, and that's God. And then if something had to die so we could live physically, how much more did something have to die so we could live eternally? Death it takes to do it. It took death for us to live eternally. Isn't that what your name being on the Lamb's Book of Life was about? You were predestinated in the Lamb's Book of Life. All of us were in that. All of the bride was in that book, which is Jesus Christ. And the only way that that book is going to come about was death. The only way he could give it to us. How much more did something have to die so we could live eternally? Death it takes to do it. Bread. See? That Jesus said, I am the bread. And there's a wheat bread, and he wasn't that wheat bread or that kind of bread. So there must be two kinds of lives that sustained by bread. It would lead us to that. He wasn't wheat. And he wasn't word, he was flesh. So there must be two kinds of life. We know that wheat dies, so we live physically. As I said, Jesus, the word bread, died so we could live eternally. How many times did he say he had one way of sharing eternal life? This was that way. He was the Word bread. Jesus, the Word bread, died so that we could live eternally. He was the Word bread. Now notice, keep that in mind. Now to prove Jesus' words to be true, we see in this in nature how it goes. Let's go to the scripture to find out again, back up into the scripture till we get to our main text. In the garden, God gave his first family the word of God to live by. Every word of it. Now, what is every word? Jesus Christ. Okay, now he gave it to them. Now, how are they going to live by that when it's not been made manifest yet? They live by the words he told them. They live by those words on their own faith until they didn't. Word of God to live by, every word of it. The first family that was put here on the earth was given eternal life as long as they stayed with God's word. That was his plan. I am God. That was his plan. Stay with my word, you'll have eternal life. Is that right? And he only said he was going to give it one way. Is that right? This is the way. Stay with my word, and I'll give you eternal life. That was his plan. I'm God. He said, I change not. That's still his plan. Stay with the word, you get eternal life. Man, look in the scripture, in the church ages, but where it talks about the he that overcometh, the he that overcometh, the he that overcometh. How many times it says that? It talks about every church age. He that overcometh, I'm going to do this. He that overcometh, I'm going to do that. And who did we say was walking in the midst of the church the whole time? Had his prophets in his hand. He was behind those prophets. And those prophets were the word made manifest to the people. And so he was doing that all the time. He was doing it. That was his plan. I am God, he says, I change not. That's still his plan. It's just man's not going to do it on his own now. God's going to do it. That's why, you see, the covenant changed. It was never God's plan for man to do it on his own. God is the only one who can keep his word. That's still his plan. It's never his plan for a creed or an organization or man-made rules. It's never something man's going to work out. See, that's what he's saying. No, he's naming all these things, but all those things are what man worked out. What man's doing on his own. Some of them really good. Really good people. Fed millions and thousands of people. And got kids in school and got them off the street. And got them out of everything under the sun. But they were still man-made rules and man-made organizations. Or man-made rules that man shall live by, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. How to go back in Genesis, which is the beginning. Genesis means the beginning. We find that God gave his family eternal life as long as they stayed in his word, in this word, and lived by this word. But when they broke it, just one link in the chain of promises, death struck them, which was also a promise. Now, I want to listen to what he talks about, this chain. Now, and you'll see what I'm talking about, Adam's faith. It's a chain. You're hanging over hell with it, and that's the only thing that'll carry you through. The chain. We're going to find out what the chain is here in just a minute. When the believer becomes a make-believer and lives on one word that's contrary to this word, he cuts his fellowship with God. Does not have fellowship at that point. One link broke. And remember, your faith in this word is like a chain. So the faith in God's word, that was the chain that Adam and Eve was held over. Held with. That's what he said. Chris didn't say it. Your faith in this word is like a chain. So whatever faith, you better have his faith. Because his is the only one that holds. His is the only one that's not one word off. A chain is its strongest at its weakest link. That's right. It's the strongest. That causes that That's all it'll hold. And if there is something in the Word that's puzzling to you, something that you have heard different, but they said that was for the apostles. So in other words, if there's something in your mind that you're wondering about the Word, whether it's true or not, he's pointing out your chain. He's pointing out your faith. See what he's doing? Because he just talked about it. That's what it is. Your faith in this Word is like a chain. And if you're wondering about things, whose faith is that? That's an intellectual faith. Reasons. Considers. Compares. All these other things. And them things was for days gone by. Somebody's saying those things. When the scripture said, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Don't let that be a weakness. Don't listen to those things. Fortify it and hold it and wrap your life into it, because that's the only thing that'll take you over the flames of hell. What is? The truth. He pointed out the truth. And that has to be given to you. What does it say? What did Jesus say? No man can come to me unless my Father draws him. So if you have these doubts, he's saying, and you're wondering whether it's the truth or not, that's not the Father. Get away from those and take the Word. That's what he's saying. Because that's the only thing. And when this chain is broke with Adam and Eve, the first family, if God was their chain, how did it break? When this chain is broke with Adam and Eve, because Brother Ram said when he comes in you in this day, it can't break. It's done. It's finished. This chain is broke with Adam and Eve, the first family. Now remember, they didn't break a sentence. They didn't break three words. One word. Man shall hang over hell by every word. Every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. What's every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God? If you don't have Jesus Christ, you're hanging on your own chain. Your own intellectual faith. And Katrina was reading me the quote that Brother Don published out there the other day about the woman who, when it got close to death, her intellect started to break down and she realized she was lost. And that's what he's talking about here. Don't hang over hell like that. Man shall hang over hell by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. That's where man's eternal destination is determined. Whether you're dependent on God to keep his word or you're trying to keep his word. Right there is where it comes down to. It was right there in the garden. Abel kept his word by revelation. Cain tried to keep his word by intellect. One proved out to be absolute death, and one was God. Why? He'll hang by that chain, or he'll hang by a creed, or if there is a creed mixed into the chain, there's where the weak link is, and you're gone. That's where the weak link was with Adam and with Eve. Now look at this. Adam and Eve could mix it. Brother Branham said it. That was their weak link. They mixed it. He said, take all the word and you'll live. If you don't take all the word, you die. And they died. So they mixed it. Doesn't mean they thought it was okay. Adam knew it was wrong. Eve didn't know it was wrong. But they both mixed it, no matter what. If is where the weak link is and you're gone. That's where the weak link was with Adam and Eve. The weak link, surely, he said, God, but surely God said it. And if God said it, God meant it. And he also keeps his word by saying, the day that you eat thereof, that day you die. The day you put, now listen to what he said. The day you put into you anything else besides the unadulterated word of God into your soul, that's the day that you're separated from God. Did Brother Branham say they were separated from God? Adam and Eve was separated from God. He put them out of Eden. And he wouldn't have had any fellowship with them if he hadn't killed the lamb and put it on them as a form of sacrifice. So did they put something into their soul they wasn't supposed to? Well, that's what he said. He said, when that happens. I'm not reading anything into that. The prophet said it. Now, don't you ever believe anything because Chris said it. Don't let me try. If I don't try to convince people that the message is true. I just try to read and show what the message said. That's all. If God doesn't convince you that it's true, I don't know what will happen. God has to do it. Now, this is very strong, but just listen close. Now, he admits that's very strong. What he just said was very strong. When you put something in there, unadulterated, into your soul, that's the day you're separated from God. And that's what happened to him. Now, this is very strong, but just listen close. Now, notice one word of the first of the Bible, God said. Now, he's going to point out three places in the Bible. And he's going to talk about in another place how that God's always perfected in threes. Now, what he said, look what he says. One word of the first of the Bible, God said, one word separated man from its eternal life chain. That's like taking a man and you hang him. And what was that eternal life chain? Don't read. That eternal life chain was there by conditions. Remember that. Built into that was what man was going to do with God's word. That's what the prophet told us. And that's why there was another covenant. If that was okay, then God would not have had to change the covenant. He was revealing what he was going to do the whole time. Brother Bram said he hid it from Satan. He hid it from the wise. He hid it all so he could give it to the babes. Then they weren't going to get it with this. That's like taking a man and you hang him by his feet. He's got his hands in heaven, and you cut him in half in two, break off a toe, whatever you're hanging on to. You're hanging on the very bottom part, and you break that chain anywhere, you're gone. Now bear that in mind. Remember, the Bible said, in the mouth of three witnesses, let every word be established. We'll get on that in a few minutes. On these three temptations of Jesus, the three temptations of ministers today, where they make the fall, three temptations of churches where they make their fall, three temptations of an organization where it makes its fall, the three temptations in individuals where they make their fall. Now it all runs in threes, like justification, sanctification, baptismal, Holy Ghost, Father, Son, Holy Ghost. Everything is perfected in threes. So are we going to find anything in the Bible that's not perfected in threes? Everything in the Bible is perfected in threes. That's what the prophet said. Now notice God, in the beginning, that very first thing he gave his children to live by was his word. Now we find that is the truth. Then, in the middle of the Bible, we hear Jesus come and say, man shall live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. So he's not changing it. He's magnifying it. He's showing you what it means. When he said that first thing, it wasn't completely shown yet. You see what he's saying? It's perfected in threes. When he said it first, he said he gave his children to live by his word. Give them that, don't touch this tree. And in the middle of the Bible, he come and he was telling them, if you'll not touch this tree and you'll live by what I said, don't touch this tree, you'll live. And in the middle of the Bible, see, nobody knows what that means yet. That's what he's pointing out here. Don't miss this, brother, sister, whoever listens later on. He's pointing out to us how God is showing what that meant when he told Adam and Eve, don't take of this tree. It meant more than just that. he's magnifying it now. He started magnifying it as soon as the fall came. Then in the middle of the Bible, we hear Jesus come and say that man shall live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And then in Revelation 22:18, Jesus himself speaking said, I testify of these things that if any man shall add one word to this or take one word of this Bible out, his part shall be taken from the book of life. See there? What did he say? Out of this book. So back there, he said, don't touch this tree in the garden. In the middle, he said, I am the tree. I am the life. And down here at the end, he points to this book, the Bible, and says, if you take one word out of this book or add one word to it. See how he was magnifying it the whole time? Brother, sister, that's beautiful. And I don't care if you line up 100 intellects out here, the best theologians from here since Jesus, they would never have saw that. Ever. It was hid, completely hid from them. All these ones coming against the prophet and saying all these nasty things, ask them if they don't see that. Brothers, that's life right there. That's God reaching out to the bride and speaking to her. That's whispering. Brother Ram talked about whispering secrets in her ear. Brother, that's what that is. He's whispering in her ear. And when he whispers, it's life to her. It's nourishment. She takes it in. She's got his spirit. And she just lives by it. I testify of these things. Remember what we read about Job back there? When we read that about Job, he said Job kept that faith. And things kept happening to Job and kept happening to Job. And what did Job do? He just stayed right there on what he knew was the truth. He stayed right there and he just waited. And one day, Brother Bram said, he stood on his feet and he saw it. He said the thunders began to roar and the lightning began to flash. And he stood up and he said, I will see my Redeemer again in my flesh. Will I see my Redeemer? And you know what that was? When he caught that revelation, Brother Branham said that was God recognizing his faith and beginning to act on it. I'm telling you what. He recognizes his own faith in his children because he put it there. I testify these things. If any man shall add one word to this or take one word of this book, his part will be taken from the book of life. I hope that makes sense. If it don't, then please ask me after service so we can talk about it, guys. I don't want you to miss that. Now, see, it's not our good living. He's talked about God magnifying himself. Now he goes right straight back to this. Now see, it's not our good living that just something goes with it. It isn't our church loyalty that goes with it. But the main thing is staying with that word. Don't eat nothing else but that word. Stay with it. He is the word. We want to watch close now. All right, so this is in the church age book, and I'm going to talk about Jesus talking about his faith. There's one faith, not a bunch of them. So look what he says. I always thought this was interesting when Peter said at the gate there, when he wanted that man wanted to be healed, he said, such as I have, give I thee. Now he's going to explain what it was Peter had and how he was giving it. This is so beautiful, brother and sister. How did Peter get the faith that he had that was Jesus Christ? God told him who it was. And he done it by manifesting the word in front of Peter. The word is going to recognize the word. It's going to call to one another. Now listen to what he's saying here. In Acts 3:16, when Peter was asked how the mighty miracle had taken place upon the crippled one at the gate beautiful, he explained it on this wise. I'm going to read it through one time without the words in it, and then we'll go back and read it with the Brother Branham putting the words in it. And his name through faith in his name hath made this man strong. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. So now Brother Branham is going to read it for us. And Jesus, and Jesus' name, through faith in Jesus' name, hath made this man, former cripple, strong. Yea, the faith which is by or from Jesus hath given him, the man, this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. So when Peter said, such as I have, give I thee, what did he give him? Peter had the faith of Jesus Christ in him. And that man wanted that. The hunger had to match the food. See? And then come together. And that man hungered for the faith of God. And that's what gave him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. See? There it is. Jesus' name, Jesus' faith, brought about the miracle. Peter did not claim it was his own human faith any more than he claimed it was his own name. He said that Jesus' name, used in faith, which is from Jesus, the faith is from Jesus, which is from Jesus, performed that great work. This faith is what the Lord was speaking about in Revelation 2:13. It was his faith. It was not faith in him. It was his faith in you, dwelling, doing these things. But it was his own faith. It was not faith in him, but it was his own faith that he had given to the believers. That's what brings the seed to life. That is the S-O-N that is up. That's the only thing going to cause you to be born. It was the only thing that was going to make that seed be born. Romans 12:3. According as God hath dealt to every man. Now he's going to give you examples of where he just got this from, that this is Jesus' faith, God's faith that he give us. According as God hath dealt to every man, according to verse 1, the men are brethren, the measure of faith. So according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. That's, and now in Ephesians, by grace are you saved through faith, and that faith not of yourself. Where does that put Adam? I don't know how else to say it. If you're going to say he already had that faith, then I'm going to ask you how he failed, because the prophet of God, the mouthpiece of God, said in this day that it won't fail. It can't be deceived. It can't break. It cannot break its promise, because it's God keeping the promise. God was determined to save man. He was determined to bring man out, to bring man to life. What happened to the book? When the fall happened, what happened to the book? It went back to God. And it went back to God how? Sealed. It was still sealed. It was sealed before the foundation of the world. It wasn't open when Adam had it. You show me where Brother Branham says anywhere that the book had been unsealed by Adam. It's not there. When it was predestined that the only one going to loose the seals was the Lamb, then how do you have it that way? And if that's the only way we can live, then that's all I'm saying. Okay, I'm not saying we're not going back to being sinless, back to all those things. But what I'm trying to get people to see is that this birth is not that. This is far beyond it. He had to take us back to that first, and that's what he done. He come and he gave us the word, and we had a birth that was not anything of this world. Nothing of this world. This birth is God Almighty doing it in us. He's making it come to pass in us. I don't have anything against Adam. I just want us to see the life and the birth that he's given us in this hour. You know, so many times we get upset that people think the birth that Paul had is the same birth that we got. Well, you know, I've heard people on forums go and go and go and go and go and go. Go and go and go. And they still don't, none of them believe anything different when they get done. They're still arguing, fussing, and going on. We need to find the ones that's hungry. Because if they're hungry for the word, I believe the prophet's word's going to fill them. And so I've just watched those, I've seen those forums, and I've seen them go and go and go and go and go. And within one or two exchanges, sometimes right from the get-go, it is nothing about anything but somebody's ego arguing this against this and this. And there's no place, brother and sister, for ego in this message. There's no place for I said such and such and I did this. No, you didn't do anything. If you did anything, it's an abomination in front of God. See that? God is the one that's going to do these things. Without El Shaddai, Adam, Abraham would never have stood. El Shaddai, Christ, proved, God proved Abraham was what he was. God proved God in Abraham. By grace are you saved through faith, and that faith not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. And it says in James 2:1, my brethren, notice, he too is talking to brethren. My brethren, have not the faith of, not in, he's pointing it out again, that they didn't say that they knew what they were talking about. Have not the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ with respect of persons. In this Pergamian age, where men were humanizing salvation, they're trying to tell people about God in them own selves, instead of letting God in them tell people about God. Having turned from the truth that salvation is of the Lord. Now, if you would have went and talked to any of them, I guarantee you none of them would have argued that salvation is of the Lord. But they had all turned from it, he said. They'd all turned from it because their actions were different than what they said they believed. Oh, is the message not full of that today? Having turned from the truth that salvation is of the Lord, having cast aside the doctrine of election and opened the church door, by doing that, you hear what he said? By turning from the truth that salvation is of the Lord, they cast aside the doctrine of election and opened the church doors wide open. And their fellowship to any and all who subscribe to their tenets. And if that message ain't become that today, just come be baptized in the name of Lord Jesus Christ. Say you believe the prophet and everything is okay. Denominations all around this message. Never mind the word. Just subscribe to their tenets. Never mind the word. And this age of rapid degradation, there were still the few who had the measure of that faith of our Lord Jesus Christ, and not only used that faith in acts of power, but withstood those who dared to say that they were saved simply on the grounds of joining a church. Brother, today, if you go out here, you might find half the churches are not denominations. I mean, there's a bunch of them that say, I'm not a denomination. We're not this. It's got to the point they don't believe nothing. It's just come to have our psychology class on Sunday morning. That's pretty much what it is. And so my point is that, what was we just reading here? Grounds of joining the church. It's not, it's just whatever. They knew that no man could truly believe in eternal life and the righteousness of God apart from the measure of faith of the Lord Jesus himself. As today's church is filled with mental believers who, who endorse the virgin birth, the shed blood, going to church, taking communion, and are not reborn at all. Even so, in the third age was the same problem. Human faith wasn't enough then, and it is not enough now. You say Adam had God's faith. No, he didn't. He didn't. Because if he'd had God's faith would have kept God's word. He put Adam on equal basis with him. He did not put Abraham on equal basis. We just read it. You're a baby. You're a baby, Abraham. I'm El Shaddai. Okay. Now, if that don't mean anything to you, that's fine. If you don't want to take what I just said about Adam, that's fine. You don't. But I want you to take what the Brother Branham said, and I want you to go and pray on that he said. Okay? Because he made the differences, not me. He pointed them out for a reason. And he told us, one of the last messages he preached, things that are to be, he said that this message is laid there and it's got the vitamins that we need. And if we start taking part of the message and acting like we just don't need that, we got salvation, so we're okay, then something's wrong. Because he said, if you got salvation, then you got an appetite for this message. That's what I'm trying to say. And I ain't talking about nobody in particular. I'm talking about people all over, whoever don't have the appetite for this. And most of the time, when they don't have the appetite for this, it's because they got something else they want to go do. Something else they want to go spend their time on and everything else. And I'm not saying spend all your time in the study. I'm just saying that when you look at Daniel, and Daniel realized the time. It was 2 years till the 70 was up. And he went in prayer, wanting to know before the Lord what he should do. He didn't just go out and start doing stuff. If Scripture says this, so I'll go do this. Scripture says this, well, that's the mess we got now. But he started praying and looking to God, what should I do? These things say this thing. What should I do, Lord? I know it's coming. It's that time. It's almost there. And you know how God saw that. You know how God felt about that. He sent angels. And he told Daniel, he said, you're greatly loved in heaven. All the things in the world. But Daniel was worried about something wrote in the Bible. And it was something getting ready. And brother and sister, if we're not living in an hour far greater than that one, I don't know what is. And only God can do it. You know, I'm just pointing the things out. Only God can stir us. That was God that stirred Daniel. Human faith wasn't enough then, and it's not enough now. It takes the very faith of the Son of God to drop into a man's heart so that he can receive the Lord of glory into the temple not made with hands. Now you go home and think about that one. He receives the Lord of glory into the temple not made with hands. Amen. Somewhere there's a temple not made with hands, and that's where he's received. This was a living faith. I live by the faith of the Son of God. I live by his faith, not one that I earned or worked up. Paul did not say that he lived by faith in the Son of God. It was the faith of the Son of God that had given him life and kept him living in Christian victory. No, they had not denied the salvation I'm sorry. No, they had not denied that salvation was supernatural from start to finish, these few that kept God's word. They kept alive the name, the truth of his name and his faith, and they were blessed by the Lord and accounted worthy of him. And I don't think I can get into this next one because it will take a long time. So we're gonna stop right there. And we'll pick up again on Wednesday. We might not get done Wednesday, but we'll finish it up next time. And I want y'all to know, I got loud there a few times. I'm not angry. I'm not mad at y'all. I'm not sitting up here thinking y'all should be doing this. I'm not sitting here thinking somebody else should be that. I'm concerned about the word. That's all I'm concerned about. Okay? That's all I'm concerned about. If somebody says something that's wrong, I'm just as concerned about that person saying something wrong as I am about the word. And there's been times it looks like I'm angry, and I'm not angry at people. I've been at times astounded by people. Astounded by people I've known forever that all of a sudden just turn the other way. And I'm like, what just happened? What just happened? And I got my own faults. I've had my own faults for a long time. If you could look back at the emails that me and Brother Holmes wrote, you'll know I had problems. And Brother Holmes, he stuck right with me. No matter what anybody wants to say and twist and turn around, he stuck right with me. We, like I said other times, Brother Holmes loved this message. And if I could choose one thing about Brother Holmes that I could have, that would be it. The love for this message that he had for this message. And the willingness to stand for this message. Not going to just sit around while people say stuff that's wrong and just do whatever. And he was willing to speak about it. Now, just as many times, he misunderstood things. He misunderstood me. And I'm sure I've misunderstood other people. But at the same time, I'm not going to just sit around and not say something when it looks wrong. The Lord will correct me if I say something that's wrong. And I want him to. I want him to. But he'll do it with the word. He'll do it with the word. It's the way he corrects all of us. I mean, there may be a man stands up and says the word, but it don't do no correcting. The only correcting is when God says that was to you. And you say, yes, Lord. Like the prophet that stood before David that day, and he said, David, you're the man. This man ought to have done this and this and this, and he said, David, you're the man. Could you imagine that day? Could you imagine that? And David's so caught up, not even thinking about it. Not even thinking about what he'd done. So caught up in it. And then that hit him. David, you're the man. And I'm sure everyone's had that, you know, they've had that experience where you'll think this or think that, and you'll be reading through the message and you're like, I'm reading this and you're, oh my, that's bad. And then it hits you. You're that man. You're that woman. But it won't if we don't care enough to get in it and look at it and ask him to. And Brother Bram said, pray for revelation more than anything. You're praying for him to make you manifest. That's what you're praying for. Everything is supposed to happen in your life. That's what's going to happen. All right. I appreciate y'all sitting here and listening to me. Even when I got loud, I'm sorry about the loud. I don't get loud much, but when it happens, I don't have any control over it. So just know I'm not angry. Y'all know I'm not angry, right? I love y'all, sometimes the only way for a point to get across is for it to come hard. I guess is the only thing I know why it comes hard that way sometimes and not others. But everything, there's been a bunch of stuff I said this morning that if you want to take an isolated thing here and there, you can turn it into whatever you want to turn it into. But realize that I'm pointing at what he said. So don't take it because Chris said it. And don't just say amen because the prophet said it. You go and it be in you. Let it be in you, living. That's the only way it matters. That's the only way any of us will be a testimony. That's the only way Christ will be known to this world, is God living in his people. And he has a testimony to make in this day. And, you know, it's quickly becoming for Sister Katrina and Sister Martha to walk down the street with their dresses on and their long hair. It's quickly becoming you are hated. And when I'm walking with you, I'm hated just as much as you are. Because I'm the man making her be this and making her be that. They can't believe it's a choice. No, they can't believe it's a choice to serve God. And it doesn't matter what they believe. It matters what God said and what he is doing. And that's what matters. And that's all we care about. You know, like I don't know if I told you all that story. I think I might have told Katrina. When I went to work at the grocery store, when I first went to work there, they'd had me bagging groceries and doing all these other things, but then somebody would spill something on one of the aisles. They'd bust a jar of pickles or they'd do something. Chris, spill on so-and-so. And the first time I got that call, I'm like, well, what? And they said, you need to go clean it up. And I said, with what? And they said, well, there's a broom and there's all the stuff in the back. Go get that and clean it up. And I said, okay. So here it is Saturday, and there's a jar of pickles everywhere in the middle of this aisle. And there's kids walking all around and on top of it. And I'm over here in the middle of it. I'm 17 years old, and I'm full of 17-year-old embarrassments. You know, I'm trying to do this, and everybody's looking at me while I'm doing this, you know. And I'm sweeping up these jar of pickles. And it took me a while. I had to sweep them all up, get all the glass up, and there was glass everywhere. Clean all the glass up, throw it all in the trash, go get the mop and mop it all up. I was out there for 15 minutes probably cleaning all that up. And I was so embarrassed the whole time doing that. But it was my job. I had to go do that. And if I didn't go do it, people would be walking through the pickles, kids could get glass in their fingers, all kind of people could slip and fall and hurt themselves. I had to go do it. And yeah, it was silly that I was embarrassed, but I was still embarrassed. And it wasn't the last time. It happened again and again. And about the third time in, I realized I don't care. I didn't care. In fact, I was almost done cleaning up whatever it was, jelly or whatever it was, before I even realized that I hadn't even noticed all the people going around me. Because I did it. It had a purpose. I had to go do it. And that's the way it is when you're walking for God. First, that flesh, Brother Paul said, you crucify the flesh daily. You start, and that flesh is going to give you problems. And so you, after a while, though, the Lord just has it. It's the stabilizers are on. Everything you see, you might feel the stare every once in a while, but you know down in your heart why you're doing it. And you know if that person knew what you knew, and if the Lord draws you towards that person to maybe say something to them. You know, I remember that story Brother Bram told about walking in that place that time, and the woman back there with the two men. And the two men got up and left. And the Lord, he was condemning her. And the Lord told him to go sit down and talk to her. You know, I wonder how many people in the world today would listen to that. Go do what he said do. He went down and he said talk. She thought he was trying to make time with her, get a date or something. He said, no, sister, I'm not here for that. He said, I'm here for your soul. He went straight to the matter. Right straight to the matter. God sent him. He didn't know what was going to happen. Didn't know if she's going to reject him. Didn't know if one of them other men is going to come out of the bathroom and beat him up. He didn't think about none of that. God said, go talk to her. After he saw that vision, he saw that vision of his own sin and what his sin done to Christ. He went over there and he sat down and he started talking to her. And she used to go to church. And before he'd left, he led her to Christ. Now, he didn't go in there to play pinball. He didn't go in there to find a girl. He didn't go in there to listen to the nonsense music. None of those other things. He went in there to get a burger because he was on the way to do something for the Lord. And when he went in there, that happened. And it will happen in the lives of God's children. It has to. Because there are seed out there somewhere. Maybe just one. Maybe two here and there, but they're there. And everybody thinks there's none in the U.S. They're wherever God puts them. You know, that one was in the middle of the worst place you could be in the 60s, doing the worst things she could do in the 60s. That's where that one was. There's people in this day and time that think they're just clean and full of the Holy Ghost. And as far away from God as can be. And so, we have to follow His leading. We can't just on our own think this one's this and that and go do something. Let's stand. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I thank You so much for helping me, Lord. You are truly the El Shaddai. And Lord, I have known You to be that to me many, many times, Lord. If it wasn't for You, Lord, we would none of us be able to keep the word. And Father, we pray that as we go through this day and we go to the funeral for my Uncle Bob and for the family there, Lord, for Mom and them, we pray You'll help them, Lord. As they're losing, a good many of my cousins lost their dad. And Lord, I pray that You'll help them. Help them, Lord, to realize just how much a father means and how much more a heavenly father means, Lord. And go with us as we're on the road. Keep us until we come back together again. I ask it in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. And let's sing that song we were singing there at the end one more time before we're dismissed. What did I say this morning, Michael? Let Your word be born. Let Your word be born in manger of my heart. Let it start. Live inside this house of clay and mold me every day. Give Your word in the manger of my heart. Sing it again. Let Your word be born in the manger of my heart. Let me from the start, let it start. Live inside this house of clay and mold me every day. Let Your word be born in the man.